Goofy Sky School.
Well, Goofy's my favorite of our kind of classic Fab Five characters, so I love a good treetop coaster, so why not?
It's funny because I actually reopened it from closing it for Mulholland Madness to turn it into Goofy Sky School.
So she opened it for that, too.
So, yeah.
I will say it's fun when you're over at the hotels and you hear that. As they go around the corners.
It's so true. Welcome back to the Life at Disney podcast. I'm your host, Lisa. I'm here at the heart of Disney California Adventure for a very special episode as we celebrate the 25th anniversary of the park, along with 25 years of Disney's Grand Californian Hotel and Spa and the Downtown Disney District. Joining me today to mark the occasion are opening day cast members from each location. Hello, Rochelle, Juliana, and Gregory.
Hi.
Thanks so much for joining us. Okay, so I can't wait to take a trip down memory lane with each of you. But first, we have a game that we like to play with each of our guests. It's called My Disney Career in 60 Seconds. I can already see the deep breaths happening right now to prepare you for this. Okay, so what we want to find out is how you came to Disney, your roles that you held along the way, and then maybe one or two projects that, like, what are some of your highlights? Okay, so may I, with Juliana, start with you?
Oh, sure. All right, I started in the fall of 1998 and really spent my first 19 years in our theme parks, learning how to do operations and all kinds of areas. Most of my time was spent in store operations and attractions and guest relations. And I think what stands out during that time is getting to work on some of our very classic and iconic attractions. Like, I got to learn the Jungle Cruise and work at the Haunted Mansion and Pirates. So these are some, like, attractions that Walt himself had either commissioned or been a part of creating, which is really fun. I spent the last 8 years working in professional training and development in a couple of different roles, but really taking a lifelong love of leadership that I have and getting to talk to other organizations about how we do things at Disney, but also learn a lot from them along the way. A couple of career highlights for me were getting to be a part of what we call the Disney Team of Heroes Initiative. This was an enterprise initiative to help improve the pediatric healthcare experience for kiddos who were facing life-threatening illnesses. So I got to travel around and work with hospitals all over the world and bring a little Disney magic to people, which is always fun. We also hosted some summits that were really focused on great causes, like the Veterans Institute, helping people transition to civilian life, and then our Women's Leadership Summit that I got to host. So lots of fun things, but those do stand out as some of the really exciting moments.
Really, truly so special and such a variety of incredible things. Greg, over to you.
Okay. Well, I always wanted to work at Disney. So when an opportunity came up to get hired in custodial, I took that. I was one of the very first rollerblading sweepers at Disneyland. And it's also where I met my beautiful wife while she was working in store operations. Then I went to TDA. I worked in...
TDA.
Yeah.
So for those who don't know, that's Team Disney Anaheim.
Yeah, so worked in cast activities. I went to the hotels, worked in cast enhancement. I went back to TDA, worked in the Disney University. Then I had the opportunity to get hired at the Disney's Grand California Hotel. I was part of the opening team there. And I was part of the first ever VIP coordinator team, which was amazing. Then I went back and forth between TDA and hotels. And I had a stay in Walt Disney Imagineering, which was really fun. I had a part in building all the theme suites at the Disneyland Hotel, currently I am working as the manager of the program development sign shop, which services the hotels and does a lot of stuff all over the Disneyland Resort. A lot of random and last-minute jobs. A lot of fun.
So much fun. I worked at Disney's Grand Californian Hotel and Spa, too, so kindred spirits there. And I will be calling Greg for the signature suites. Noted for later. Okay, Rochelle, next to you.
Hi. Well, I started back in 98 as a ride operator for Splash Mountain and then eventually Indiana Jones Adventure. Oh, I know. She's a wonderful time. By 2000, I got over to Disneyland Guest Relations and grew up throughout that whole time along with, you know, the beginning of the parks. In that time frame, I was also honored with becoming part of the opening task force team for Hong Kong Disneyland. And in that time frame, that kind of took me on to Emerging Leaders, which got me over to Paradise Pier Attractions and eventually learning all the attractions in California Adventure. And then it was time to go to entertainment. So I went on to Disneyland Characters Disneyland photo imaging, shows an atmosphere for Disneyland Park, and right back on Main Street, Main Street operations. So just following Juliana just a little bit with steam trains, but also still supporting it as a salary leader. And now I am an occupational case advocate for Disneyland Resort.
Wow. That's so special. And for each of you, every step of the way, it's like you had no idea where it was leading you, but all the magic you create along the way, it's spectacular, right? Okay, so I want to go back. Let's go back to pre-opening, okay?
Yes.
So for cast members, right, it's extremely special to open up a land, a show, an entertainment district, a hotel, and of course, a new park. So how did each of you become a part of the opening teams? Let's start with you.
I remember we had this big event called Cast Blast,
yes.
And they were advertising all the areas. I don't think I realized then, but they were asking us to kind of think about if you wanted to transition to an opening team, which one? And then we literally had to fill out a form, like giving our top three choices of where we'd like to go. And for me, I always gravitated towards those. I was in stores at the time. I wanted to work at the biggest, busiest stores. I just like to stay busy. I like to think it keeps me out of trouble. When they told me they were opening the second largest Disney store, I was like, I'm in. And I immediately signed up for Downtown Disney Store's opening team. And I was so thankful that was my first choice and where I ended up going.
That's special. Greg.
So I had an office job and I was passed by an office, this lady named Dorothy. And every time I passed by her office, she would ask me questions about working with kids because I had a degree in child development. And she would always say, Greg, you're going to come work for me. Greg, you're going to come work for me. And I went, yeah, whatever. And then later on, I got a phone call saying, hey, Greg, this is Dorothy. You're starting next week. You're going to be a VIP coordinator at the Grand California Hotel. And I went, really? Okay. I already informed your manager. You're starting next week with training. And it was amazing. It was such a fun role. Had a great time.
Lovely. Off and running you went.
Yeah.
All right, Rochelle.
As a tour guide, your job is to talk about the parks. So when other areas had like an attraction to focus on or a store to focus on, we were focusing on everything. So we did our best to learn everything prior, during construction. And then once we came to opening day, we were going to have to be the experts and help support that. So we did our auditions for our scripts or whatever, and then some of us made it to opening day, which was a wonderful, very, very cold Thursday morning.
You remember the weather, too.
Yes, because I remember it being windy. I was like, I got to control all of this.
Kind of like this morning. We're kind of like, we're keeping it together.
Just a little bit.
You know, we wanted to bring the nostalgia. Okay, yes. So you're kind of touching on that. What was the energy like, though? It sounds like there's so much at play.
Well, we had guests who also spent the night in the parks overnight.
What?
So, yeah. So a huge sleepover from the night before. Following like celebrity parties, following also AP previews, and then prior to that we had construction site tours. So it was go the whole time. And so when it finally opened, you're like, oh, this is it forever. Okay, this is how it's going to be. And then all of a sudden, the days following afterwards, you're like, oh, wait a minute, where's all the excitement? Oh, so now we just got to maintain this. So while opening the park meant, oh, how do we continue this story? How do we continue to make this work? Because California had not had a second gate, unlike our Florida friends or Tokyo or Paris. This was our first time having this here where everybody knows everything, supposedly. So we learned as we went. And it was an amazing time, a thrilling time, sometimes a hard time, because not everybody understood that. What do you mean? I have to... This is a separate park. I just want to go to Adventureland. Yeah, well, Adventureland's in Disneyland, but California Adventure is a whole separate experience. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was a great time.
That's so fascinating. 25 years later, I wouldn't think about that because it's so muscle memory now. Of course, you know where to go, but that's true. Guests are trying to figure it out,
mm-hmm.
trying to navigate and learn. So clearly, thank you for what how you brought that to life. What about you? How would you describe the energy as you're about to open the parks?
For us, we were all of us very nervous.
Really?
I remember we had our first guests all booked. Walt Disney Travel Company had booked everyone for the hotels. And I remember the day we first opened the phones and it was just like, oh, what's going to happen? And it was great, though. We started answering guest questions. And we were all just so excited to be able to open up this first, the first Disney-built hotel in California. And I think we did a pretty good job.
That's amazing. Juliana?
I think opening day specifically, same thing you said, we were nervous because it was so new, but it was like the first time all of us were in our costumes and we were so ready. Maybe you're not aware, but we have some brand loyalty and some big fans, right? So we're also big fans. We were introducing new product lines that had never been done before. We had like upscale products and it was so exciting to like open those doors. I do think that day one, the majority of the money they got was from Gasper Russo. Because we've been waiting to buy stuff ourselves. Like we're some of the biggest fans.
I feel you.
And we weren't really allowed to buy anything till opening day. But it was also truly the height, like the apex of pin trading and collecting pins.
Yeah.
And they created some limited edition pins for us that were the logo of the store. And limited edition pins are already very popular, but these were also numbered. So we had a line of people waiting to get inside the door to buy merchandise.
I think I remember that too.
Yeah, we were really proud to, that the most popular merchandise was inherently the store we'd all been working 6 months to open, which was really, really cool to kind of see and be a part of.
See it all come to life.
Yeah.
Are there any other core memories, anything that you just cherish and you remember from that time?
I think it's also taking like even celebrities around the resort, you know, having that opportunity to even share this new leg of the story with somebody who already thinks they already know. Like no matter how long they've been with Disney or Disneyland or grew up here, and you take them through like, oh, I didn't know about this. I didn't know, you know, you take them on Soaring Over California and you're just sitting there to look at their reaction. And you're like, you know, you're like, you see some tears or you hear some screams because they weren't expecting to like to be put into this whole thing. Or like, hey, you're going to have fun in California, you know, California Screaming, now Incredicoaster. And they're like, wait, you're not coming with me? No, I'm going to wait for you here. And they come back and they're like wind blown. You're like, but I want to do it again. And I'm like, of course, let's do it one more time. So it was great to kind of like either begin their visit again with something new or end their familiarity with like trying to teach them something.
Yeah. What about you?
I would say for us, it was, again, because we were creating something new. So it was so much fun to just experiment. And a cast member would say, what if we read to our guests at night as a turndown? And so, you know, we'd grab some books and we went up to concierge lounge and we had guests come in and we did bedtime stories. Or cast member would say, what if we did Santa Claus faces using shaving cream, and, you know, puffs up and like, we'll do Santa Claus faces. Let's do an Easter egg hunt. All these ideas that people would do. And you're just like, yeah, let's do it. There was so much freedom and so much opportunity to make magic for our guests. And a lot of those things of just creating something new, building something new from scratch was so much fun.
Special.
And then right before we opened, we had some people from Imagineering come down and really explain the story of World of Disney and Marceline's Confectionery and give us some of the insight. We all know that we're great world-class storytellers, but it really solidified for me that at Disney, there's no such thing as an unimportant detail. Like every fixture and every color and everything we were selling was meticulously created. It gave us a really big sense of pride. And then we were telling the story, like when people would ask, like, oh, do you know why that was chosen? Or this is what Tony Baxter told us, or this is what we heard about why this is so important. So we just had a tremendous amount of pride and excitement. And there still is these rich stories. I love how detailed we are, even, you know, the attractions we expect, but everything here has purpose and intention. It was something I learned, but it was also something I was able to share with the people who wanted to be fanatical. And then there's a saying in stores that, these are the tangible memories. So after they've gone home and they're no longer on the Ornstinger, this is what's going to really be the tangible memory of their trip. So we took a lot of pride in like helping them select the right souvenir, not just because we're trying to sell them something, but because we want it to be a fond memory they would see for years to come. Maybe a picture frame that was going to live on the mantle they'll talk about for the next 20 years. And so we're really given that license to talk to our guests and understand why they're here and what's going to help them remember their vacation. And not just sell them a bunch of stuff. And I think that's pretty unique to Disney.
Very. And I would say Marceline's, I visited quite a few times. That didn't last long. That didn't leave the property for me. But yes, I know what you're talking about. A little plush.
Yes.
And warm hug when you got home. That was always so special. So we're celebrating this milestone. It's been 25 years since the beginning. but so much has grown and evolved in that time. Like, reflecting on that, how does it feel to know that you were here from the start when it all began, though?
Oh, it's so much fun. It's a little surreal. I hate to say it because it's your experience. You're like, it hasn't been that long. I remember when I got asked to do this, I'm like, but I'm only 30. So how is it possible we're celebrating the 25th anniversary?
Right.
But it gives me so, I like to think of both. I don't want to get so precious that I can't be excited. I love when we change. I love when we add a new attraction. I love when new experiences continue to pop up. But it makes me very nostalgic for when we were one theme park. And you kind of, there was a little bit of an era where you could kind of know everyone. Remember when I walked on Main Street for the first time, I was training on Main Street Stores and my trainer, everyone knew my trainer was a trainer. And so they're like, oh, hey. And they're waving to him, who's the new kid? And like the attraction people were saying hi. And so there's a little something like a kind of a small town feel to it that we have seen a transition. But I think we're still really great about being warm and welcoming and creating things for people. But the family just keeps getting bigger. The experiences keep getting more numerous. But what I've discovered is I get to see cast members sometimes on their first day when they're coming through traditions at Disney University. And they all want to hear the stories. So we have this culture where people love hearing about how things used to be. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I get asked all the time, what was it like when there was just one park? Or what was it like when you opened this? Or when we're, you know, and so I love that we have guests and cast who are so curious about where we've been. But I hope we continue to be cutting edge and pushing the envelope and creating new experiences, because I enjoy those too.
It's lovely. Okay.
Yeah. So when we first opened Disney's Grand California Hotel and we were just creating all these new things, it's so exciting now to see the little seeds that we planted have grown into sometimes entire departments, where we were doing fun activities with kids just as little one-offs. Now there's an entire guest activities department that does at all three hotels, where we used to set up little in-room amenities for our guests. Now there's an entire amenities department that makes baskets and decorates guest rooms. So that's what really is so neat. It's like we helped start that, and not only did we help start it, but it was something that was good enough that they kept doing and grew it and made it better. Mm-hmm. And so many times we're like, oh, back in my day. But yeah, back in my day, there's only one park. But look at around us. This is great. This is what we've been able to create by moving forward and taking chances and trying new things. So it's really neat to see the growth and to see the evolution of the parks and the Disneyland Resort to what it is today.
I will admit that after all the excitement and all the events and just trying to even maintain what California Adventure is or was hard, because guests really were looking for a second Disneyland, and we didn't have that. We didn't have that. We didn't even have characters here yet. We had a lot of entertainment. We had, you know, a lot of great restaurants, but it was still trying to get that through. Now that we're here and we have continuous stories where they're part of the Avengers experience, they are getting their, you know, getting their best shot at Midway Mania, where I still like, oh, strips, dips, and chips. That was so sad. Or Mallard burritos. It was pretty good. Mallard burritos. But for our, because our guests keep growing, we also have to keep growing. The story has to continue to change because everyone has changed. That's the one thing that's constant is change, but it's great. It's necessary. And it teaches us a lot.
I loved that story, Rochelle. Truly, you can just see it shine through, like your passion and love. I'm curious, you've experienced so much in your incredible careers. What would be some advice that you'd go back and tell your younger self? What would that be?
Oh. Do you want to? I say this a lot when I get to mentor people now, like, what's a piece of advice you give me? And I said, stay curious, ask questions. And then just, I do believe at Disney, failure is not fatal.
Right.
Like, we're all probably going to make a mistake at some point in our career, especially when we're new, but owning it, I say failure isn't fatal, but failure to learn from it might be. So just owning your mistakes, not being afraid to put yourself out there. Mm-hmm. There's no two Disney careers, especially if you just decide to get into leadership,
right,
that ever look the same. So there's no right path. There's no trajectory that's perfect. But I do think someone who's really self-aware, who can kind of say when they don't know or ask for help, and then when there are moments where we make missteps, because we're all going to make them, when that learning curve is really short, because you can kind of own it and move forward and not beat yourself up too much, which we all love to do, I used to be a black belt and beating myself up. And so I think that if I could tell that 19-year-old who hired in, hey, like none of this is going to be the career-ending move. And in fact, the more you talk to people and look at the community of people who work here, you understand that everyone has made a mistake. And the more I talk about that as a leader, I think it makes a leadership more approachable, because you're not a leader because you're perfect or you figured everything out. We're here to serve people, and we're here to help people reach their full potential. And along the way, we're okay helping each other out when we do have those missteps.
So true. Rejection is redirection sometimes.
I like that. That is nice. That is nice.
I do love that. You know, I learned it from you. You gave me that one.
Okay, but put it on a t-shirt, basically.
Okay, I'm going to write that down for later. Greg.
Well, I am very fortunate to be able to actually kind of talk to my younger self, because my daughter, Katie, works here. And so a lot of the advice that I give her, similar, you know, own your mistakes. Don't sweat the little things. You know, we work at Disney. It's such a fun place to work. So, you know, revel in that. Enjoy that. We get to make magic. We get to take people away from the real world and bring them to these magical places here. And it could be as simple as someone drops their popcorn and refilling it. It could be, you know, seeing a kid crying and, you know, making a goofy face and making him smile. It could be doing what my daughter does, trivia, you know, with guests in Waiting for the Parade. So all these little things, we get to do that. We get to do that for a living and get paid for it. How fun is that? So, yeah, don't sweat the small stuff. Focus on the magic and just enjoy your time here.
Awesome.
I would say continue to work hard. Just be in the present. Just enjoy the moment. Whatever you think life is going to be, that life plan that you have 5 or 10 years, the world is going to laugh at you, and because it's going to change. So just be present in the moment. Just enjoy it. And yes, learn from it, but don't stay in it too long, because then you won't be able to evolve. Take it for what the moment is and continue to move forward. We have to keep moving forward. It's one of our greatest, Walt Disney quotes. So
truly is.
Completely
agree. So I'm curious though, you have a wealth of knowledge from everything from the opening day to now. I'm curious, do you think there was just something really unique and something that helped you because you started on that team, and how it kind of helped you grow in your career?
I think I'm gonna start. Yeah. yes, because prior to this, never wanted to be confrontation, wanted to stay in the background, never really wanted to be up front. But because of becoming a tour guide and knowing to give the stories and give the spiels, but then also having to explain what California Adventure was over and over again, as well as what the rest of the resort was ready to offer, I think it gave me a stronger background on just being able to present myself better, period. Yeah. So it pushed me into a place where this is, you know, this is Disney Rochelle. This is not, you know, Rochelle, you know, outside the berm. So I cherish that. And I take that feeling and kind of push it over into other things. Sometimes when I have to, you know, be the parent, but also just also continue just to even share with my daughter as well. So she knows that, hey, it's in you too. You know, don't be afraid.
Oh, I got some great advice from my leader when I was here at the Disney Grand California Hotel. Dorothy, she took us into a meeting one day. We had been here about a year at that point, and she said, I don't expect any of you to be here within the next year or two. I expect you all to move on, and it's my goal to push you forward and push you to your next goal.
Wow.
And I really took that to heart, as that's what we should be doing as leaders, is not holding on to our best cast members, but trying to help them grow and help them become better people and get to their next goal. And maybe it's a lateral, maybe it's a promotion, but helping find their story and find their place where they feel like they belonged to. And there's so many opportunities here at Disneyland, Disneyland Resort. There's hundreds of jobs. I had 15 of them while I was in my 30 years here. Great. So
Just a few.
And also, there's so many great opportunities. And yeah, that was one of the things that I took away from that, as from a leadership standpoint, to really focus on your cast and helping them because they'll appreciate it and they'll become better people. And that's at the end of the day, just all boats rise.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think back to being on that opening team, and we were a pretty young group. I mentioned that, and we were all willing to like jump in. And the thing I learned like in my bones was everything that's going to happen, we can survive it together if we mm-hmm. stick together. And to not have a plan, be relentless about planning and trying to come up with a way we're going to operate today. But then know when we open the gates every day, or we open the doors, we're going to throw that plan right out the window.
Right, absolutely.
There's so many factors we could never predict, but it made me really resilient. It made me love change. I kept seeking out roles in my career. They're like, hey, we're going to do something no one's ever done. I'm like, put me in, coach. Like, because I realized I kind of love to embrace the chaos of change, not because we don't, we can't hold the plan so precious because things are going to change. The shipment's going to arrive a day late. The mannequins aren't going to get here on time. The timeline has to be flexible. Mm-hmm. So I really think that's carried through for me. And the other thing is, I said this a lot. I mean it. Coach John Wooden had a quote that, like, don't let what you can't do interfere with what you can. I think when I was young in my career before the opening team, it's like, oh, we don't have this, or we don't have that budget, or this didn't happen. But it's really easy to make a list of the things that are going to get in your way. Mm-hmm. But flipping that script and saying, yeah, we may not have endless budget. We may not have gotten the shipment on time. We may not be able to do X, but we can do Y. Mm-hmm. And really approaching every role that way, like, let me think about what I actually have control over. Mm-hmm. All of us have a sphere of influence, even if you're not a leader. And I think Disney gives people a lot of that autonomy and empowerment to take care of our guests and each other. And I love being a part of that culture where people rise to the occasion on a regular basis to create the best experience they can, and really just focusing on what we can do.
Totally. That reframing is so powerful. I think even for me, sometimes I try to reframe like problems to puzzles.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, right. just in the way that you think about it can really help. So that was completely agree. You actually touched on this earlier, mentorship. Mm-hmm. How has mentorship supported your career along the way?
Man. I would say it's been the single greatest factor in my life. I'll take it even outside of career, but it started here. I was young, I was passionate, but I was also a little unpolished. You mentioned that earlier.
What do you mean?
I didn't have leadership presence. I was like a puppy. I was like, yeah, I've got all the enthusiasm and none of the polish. And I had a couple people who would, I now have come to say, they went all in on me. Like, I had a leader within my first week at Disney. He's like, I'm so glad you're lending us your talents. You're very talented. You could work anywhere. She actually said to me, you might be my boss someday, but I think I'd enjoy working for you. And that was weird. It was such an experience to have someone who was further in their career, who was already a salaried leader, kind of say something to you. When someone you respect believes in you, something magical happens. Pun intended. and so I really wanted to be that kind of person, and not through a title, but to try and empower others. So every area I ever had a chance to be a part of a team. And then when I became a leader and a leader of leaders, I remember trying to go all in on people. And there were talented people who were like running our attractions and like working lead roles. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're so amazing. When do you want to start talking about becoming a salaried leader? And they thought I was insane. They're like, I'm not ready for that. Right. Like, they've never even considered it. And all of a sudden, the script flipped it in their mind. I could see the change happen. They're like, you know, Julianne, I had a chance to think about what you said. I do want to talk to you about that. And they just needed someone that they trusted and respected to say, I see potential in you, for them to start reframing themselves what they thought was capable. So it has meant everything to me. There's been times I need my lifeline still, people I haven't worked with in years. And I call them and I'm like, I need a pep talk. And they're there for me. And I think that's the kind of relationships that a lot of people in operations feel like they've had the opportunity to build over the years. It's not even about we work on the same team today, but we still have each other's backs whenever needed. So it's been wonderful.
I love that having each other's backs is very important.
Yes.
Very special.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some amazing mentors over the years. I think back to talk about being polished. Oh boy. I needed some polishing when I started as a VIP coordinator, really getting, making sure to not always speak my mind, but speak what needed to be said. And I had some great leaders who helped hone me in and try to take the high road, which was sometimes challenging for me. But I think really what shaped me was them having faith in my abilities and challenging me and giving me opportunities to do things that I would never have dreamed. Go ahead and put together a presentation to the VP and on your idea.
Yeah.
So you'd build a PowerPoint deck and you would print it out, and he'd be flipping through it while you're presenting, and you're like, but at the end, great idea, let's do it. What? And just those steps of just being challenged, and yes, I can do it, challenge, yes, I can do it, challenge, yes, I can do it, just help build my confidence and help build me to hopefully what I am today, is being able to pretty much do any last minute or random project that they throw at us.
I love it.
Oh my gosh. Yes, I'm lucky enough to have a few mentors still be here, as well as also have moved on and work in other various parts outside the berm. And also now to also do that for my, you know, for the resort through Thrive. We have a Berg mentorship program called Thrive. And I'm one of the leaders this year who gets to help like guide that in a different way, and also continue on that legacy of mentorship with the resort, where, you know, you find someone else in the resort and they match you up and you kind of watch someone's progression along the way. And it's amazing enough, no matter where they may be, whether it is from entertainment or maybe even like costuming, it's still the same, because you still see that young person like who's like, I'm ready for it all. Then you're like, hold on, chief, I get that, but let's, you know, there's a few things along the way. Keep the enthusiasm, but remember, you have to always continue to learn.
Yeah.
And it has been great. I refuse to believe that it's been 25 years, though. I feel like it's just been just five. That's perfectly fine. But to see it continuously grow and continuously happen has been, it's just one of the awe moments of having a Disney career for me.
So special. What is something that you wish people knew about working for Disney?
Oh.
Oh.
Rochelle says she's ready.
She's ready.
She had an idea.
Do you have an idea?
That it's not just one person. That everything here takes a team effort. We make it look like, oh, just one person. No. There's huge teams behind every aspect. Whatever job you think you may want, this place probably has it here on resort property. But know that there's also a team of people who are going to not only work along with you, but also support you along the way. So I just wish they would know that.
I love that.
If you don't mind, to go next, because my answer is exactly the same. If you talk to someone who's a long-term cast member, like, why do you stay? They're almost always going to tell you it's the people. It's the colleagues and it's the guests I get to interact with, but it's also the culture those people believe in and bring to life. And by that, I mean, I can pick up the phone and call someone who I have the pleasure of knowing, but I can also call or Teams message now. I'm dating myself. I can reach out to a complete stranger and say, I need your help creating some magic today.
Right.
And all of a sudden, our guest service Spidey sense starts tingling.
I'm joining.
And we're like unified. And I think at other organizations, they start talking about, well, who's going to pay for that? Who are you? Why are you calling me?
Yeah.
None of that happens at Disney. People are like, oh, you need help making magic? I'm in.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad you called me. And now we have a common goal to make the best day for someone ever. You said this earlier, we get to be a part of the best days of people's lives.
Right.
And so we take that very seriously. And we have tens of thousands of cast members who work here now. And we're all on the same team. It's a pretty rare culture that we get to be a part of.
That's lovely.
Yeah, we've got security, fire department, doctors, nurses, we've got a pharmacy, we got all these things that are all, people don't realize all the amazing
benefits.
Teams and things that we have here. But I would say it's not all fun and games, be honest.
Yes.
You're gonna have some hard days, you're gonna have some days where it's gonna be pouring down rain and you're wearing a costume that's not the most comfortable, but those are far and few between, and at the end of the day, you're not going to remember those as much. You're going to remember the kid that you helped make smile, the plush that drops into the rivers of America, and then you go up and replace at Pieces of Eight. You know, those are the things that you're going to remember. Those are the things that you tell your kids and probably your grandkids about. And might be hard some days, but it's all worth it. It's all worth it in the end.
Because the hard days make you appreciate the good days even more.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So true.
Savoring the sweetness.
Mm-hmm.
And true story, I still have a Timon and Pumbaa plush from Main Street from the 90s. Like when they, You remember, you guys. Like, I promise. Like, we make so many moments.
I might have sold it to you.
Globally. I mean, go back and look at some photos. I mean, pull out the Polaroids. Okay, I think it's time for a game.
Okay.
What do you say?
All right. Well, we love a game.
Okay, are you familiar with blind ranking? I'll tell you how it works. Okay, so I'm going to give you a list of park attractions from 1 to 5. I want you to rank them. I'm going to say the names one at a time.
Okay.
One is your absolute favorite. So we're going to start with the first one.
Okay.
Choose carefully. Let's see how you do.
All right.
Are you ready?
Oh,
ready.
Okay. Ready. Here we go. See, the tone totally changed. We got serious.
We're very serious right now.
I have the music going in my head. Okay, here we go. Silly Symphony Swings.
So we can only use each number one time, if I'm understanding correctly.
Five.
Five?
I'm going to say five as well.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
I get dizzy.
We're going to stick with fives.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right. Five is gone.
Okay.
Luigi's Rollickin' Roadsters.
Three.
Three. I'm going to three.
I'm going to go four.
I'm also going to go four.
Okay.
I've seen it evolve in many different ways. So
bringing in the expertise.
Yes.
I see. Okay.
Yes.
Grizzly River Run.
We don't know what the other ones are going to be.
Remember before. Again, because the spin down the... I get dizzy.
Oh.
I love it, but sometimes being wet afterwards isn't my favorite, depending on the outside weather. So I'm going to say three.
I loved walking the mountain, so I'm going to go with two.
Rochelle's going in that top spot. She's getting closing in there.
Yes.
Okay. Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout.
That's tough because it's up there.
Yeah. I got two. I can handle it, but not one of my.
Oh, you don't like the dropping sensation?
I can do it, but I like it for the theming. The theming and the special effects. Super cool.
Pretty strong, yep.
I'm hesitant to give away my top spot, so I'm going to say two, but it's a classic. It's amazing.
Yeah, I'm not going to give it a top spot because she's wonderful, and I've been lucky to get every song that I've liked whenever I go on it, but she's going to be a three.
Okay.
All right.
Leaving the option open. Okay. Are you ready for the last one?
Ready.
Goofy's Sky School.
It's got to be number one, then.
It's got to be number one. Well, Goofy's my favorite of our kind of classic Fab Five characters, so I love a good treetop coaster, so why not? Number five. Number one.
I'm going to go with number one, because it's funny, because I actually reopened it from closing it for Mulholland Madness to turn it into Goofy's Sky School.
So she opened it for that, too.
I opened it. So, yes.
But I got the knowledge on that one.
Thank you so much. You're welcome, everyone. Thank you.
Bonus opening team. Got it.
Okay. Yes.
I will say it's fun when you're over at the hotels and you hear that. As they go around the corners. That's all you hear. Just.
Yes.
It's so true. Okay, you know, we got a bonus question for you.
Ready.
Oh, okay.
All right. So the Pixar Pal-Around attraction, what kind of gondola are you choosing? Are you choosing a swinging or non-swinging gondola?
Opening day, swinging today, not swinging.
My answer is a bit more nefarious, I think. If I'm just going on it by myself, I'm probably stationary. But if I'm bringing guests, I almost always talk them into it. I'm the mischievous aunt or whatever.
Because, I love it.
They never really think the motion's going to be as big as it is. So I kind of just sit back and watch their reactions. But maybe I guess it's both in my case.
Is it a windy day? Because
we're getting into details. Okay, little breeze, light breeze.
Okay, light breeze. You know, a typical California day. Then I'm open to either one because also was able to close down the fun and open it at let the sun set and then open it with fun. So that's what we did when we were retheming everything. So the sun shall set. But the fun will begin with Mickey's Fun Wheel. So.
Okay. Well, for me, I'll be having just some popcorn and watching you guys. I can't even do it. Heights over here for me. Okay. Well, you know what? I really had such an incredible time with all of you. Thank you so much for this. Just the celebration of this milestone. It's truly magical. So we're talking about the past, the present, but the future. There's so much growth and evolution coming to the resort. I'm curious, what are you most excited to see come to life?
I don't even know. I get overwhelmed. I get so excited. I keep reading the press release. I'm like, look at all these things. And the theme park's growing and new exciting adventures being added. But honestly, what I'm most excited about is I keep telling everyone who'll listen
the cast members who are here now, if they think they want to turn this into a career, I'm like, be ready. Mm-hmm. Because expansion here means opportunity. Mm-hmm. So start thinking now about what you're willing to challenge yourself with and where you're going to put your name in the hat. Because I feel like when we expanded originally, we were kind of told that was going to be the only time we could expand.
Right.
Because we were landlocked. And yes. to know that Disney has worked so hard so that we can continue to grow, I just want to make sure everyone's ready for it so that they're, when the lightning strikes a second time, they're ready to go.
I'm getting excited. You're selling me right here.
It's going to be an exciting time with a lot of growth, a lot of new immersion opportunities. I'm a baby steps person. You know, all the little things that were, I guess not new attractions aren't little things, but not a whole new theme park, but all the new attractions that we're planning for here at Disney California Adventure Park, the refurbishments that are happening over at the hotels, all the little things keeps us, of course, busy. But it's just fun to see all the little things that kind of just keep stacking up and keeps uh-huh. the excitement going, where you don't have to have a brand new theme park to be excited about something to look forward to. So all the little baby steps are fun.
Both of these are really good. I now that I'm not really in park operations as in this role to kind of watch it along the way, I have just decided I'm just going to wait until it actually happens and then experience it in a whole different way that I haven't been able to do in the some years that I've been here. So I am excited for me experience it, this resort, in a different way, but still being part of that growth. So I'm looking forward to that piece, besides also the Coco attraction. But more importantly,
just going to say that.
But more importantly, just how do we do what we do here, you know, from the concept to actually reality, it's still like, it's still magical. Like, I don't know how we do what we do, but we do it. So
it really is. It's mm-hmm. magical. Yeah. And it really was. It was such a magical conversation with all of you. Thank you so much for the time, just your passion, your excitement. It really is inspiring to me as a, you know, a current cast member and to everyone out there and beyond. So thank you so much. And thank you all for tuning into today's episode. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts to catch our next episode. And if you want to learn more about working at Disney, follow Disney Careers on social media or visit DisneyCareers.com. We'll see you real soon. The Life at Disney podcast is produced by Jaren Kaufman and Sarah Monier. In-person production by S. Cook Productions. Videography by Dan Beckman and James Wardle. Editing by Brandon Colon. Social promo by Hannah Butler. Design and graphics by Delaney Regner. Music arranged and produced by Not Young Music Group Incorporated. A special thank you to the teams at Disneyland Resort.